My name is John Erling, and today's date is April 26, 2012. Fred, would you state your full name, please?
Fred Harris. Maybe Fred Roy or Fred Ray Harris. But actually, on my birth certificate, it's Freddie Ray, I think, Harris.
Why is there a question about Ray or Roy?
My birth certificate, first time I ever got one, I think, was to get a passport. The blanks are filled in handwriting, and I think it's my dad's handwriting. For my name, it is F-R-E-D-I-E, Freddie, with one D and I-E. And then it's either Ray or Roy, you can't tell for sure, Harris. So I asked my folks about this at one time. My dad thought they named me after an uncle of his, whose name was Ray Lee Carey. So my name was Freddie Ray Harris. And my mother thought they'd named me after her brother, Leroy Person. So about junior high, I decided that Freddie Ray, which is what I was called all that earlier life, I thought that sounded, you know, like a kid's name. And so I changed my name to Fred Roy Harris, then shortened it eventually to Fred R. Harris. I used the R when I was running for office because my dad's name is Fred B., Fred Byron Harris.
So was that an official change? Or is that
no, just I just did it.
So technically, you're not Fred R. Harris.
That's right. Technically, I'm Freddie Ray, probably, Harris.
So we go back to your Washington days and Senate and all that.
Right.
Fred Harris was never there.
That's right. I've written that I hope nobody ever questions my election to the Oklahoma State Senate or to the United States Senate on the basis that I was elected under a fake name.
Your date of birth?
It's November 13, 1930 in Walters, Oklahoma, which is down in southwestern Oklahoma, Cotton County.
Your present age today is?
81.
And where are we recording this interview?
Home of my wife and me. Her name is Margaret Elliston. It's in Corrales, C-O-R-R-A-L-E-S, New Mexico, which is in Sandoval County, New Mexico, on the banks of the Rio Grande River, across the river from Albuquerque.
We're half hour or less from Albuquerque.
That's right.
So you were born in Walters in a beautiful new hospital, or what were you born in?
No, my mother pointed a place out to me later on. I was born in a two-room frame house. One room, I guess, was sort of the kitchen and whatever, and then a bedroom. The doctor was Dr. George Baker. He signed the birth certificate. He attended the birth, but I think, as I said, my dad filled out the birth certificate. He listed his own occupation as laborer, and he listed my mother's occupation as housewife.
Tell us, in the state, where is Walters?
Walters is down in the southwest part of the state. It's 22 miles south of Lawton, and it's 45 miles north of Wichita Falls, Texas.
So which side of the tracks were you born on?
I was born just on the right side of the tracks, but barely. The Rock Island Railroad track runs through Walters. Across the tracks, west of the house where I was born, is an area which in my day people sort of derogatorily called Snuff Ridge. People kind of look down on people over there, poor and so forth, which is really interesting because certainly we weren't any better off economically than those people. But I was barely born on the right side of the tracks.
So 1930, can you background a little bit?
1930, well, it was, of course, the depths of the Depression and the great crash had come at Wall Street in 1929. We began soon after I was born to go into those terrible Dust Bowl days.
Your mother's name and where she was from?
Addie Aline Person Harris. She was born in East Texas. Her folks moved up to Oklahoma near Waurika. My dad was Fred Byron Harris. He was born in Mississippi, and his folks brought him out when he was six to Oklahoma, and they began to sharecrop a place near Waurika, a farm. Later on, with the help of a brother of his, my uncle A.C. Harris, he wound up buying that farm and the adjoining farm and was farming on it when he died.
Your mother's personality, can you describe her for us?
I think of her as laughing. Green eyes and the twinkly eyes. She laughed all the time. There were two aunts of mine that were her very close friends, and any time they got together, it was just laughing, laughing, laughing. We weren't much huggers in my family, as far as I can remember, but she was a very loving person, and she doted on us and did me. She had to work all her life, and she'd been kind of an adult all her life. I think her dad, whose name was Will Person, together with my dad's dad, whose name was Andrew Clifton Harris, spent a lot of time fishing and hunting and drinking a little. And my mother could write checks on her father's bank account from the time she was a teenager. She was always a hard worker, and she was a good manager in my early life. She worked cleaning people's houses. In those days, there was a place called a Help Yourself Laundry in Walters. She worked in it and helped people do their laundry or did it for them. Later on, she somehow taught herself bookkeeping, and she began to do bookkeeping at cattle auction sales in Walters. It was on Winslow. And she was always, I think, what we would today call a feminist. She didn't understand anything about politics or had never been involved in it, but she was always willing to do anything to help me. She'd go to local fairs or whatever and hand out cards just by herself, campaigning for me when I ran for office.
Brothers and sisters, how many did you have?
Had three sisters, one older sister, Catherine, and then a sister just younger than me by 2 years, Sue, and then a younger sister altogether, Irene. All of them are dead now.
And then your father, his personality, describe him.
My father was a cowboy kind of a guy. My mother had an eighth grade education because that's as far as the country school went to where she lived. My dad had only about a third grade education, something like that. His father took him out of school early so he could work in the fields. Then later, he drove my grandfather, his father, and my mother's father. He drove them a lot, just as a kid. And I think the reason why they needed a driver, they were drinking a little bit while they were going fishing or whatever. He was a really tough cowboy kind of a guy, wiry, tough, and he could do anything. He was a mechanic. He could do that, work on a car himself, his own cars and trucks. He could butcher, and did every year for us, butcher a hog or butcher a calf, cut it up and so forth. He'd cure the ham and cure the sausage. He was a heck of a carpenter. A couple of houses we lived in when I was a kid, he built an extra room on the house for me to have my own bedroom. What he was just phenomenal at was buying and selling cattle. He'd go to an auction sale in our area every weekday, and then on Saturday, he'd generally go out to some farmer's place he'd heard wanted to sell some cattle. And I've gone with him a lot. He would know from the morning radio reports what the various classes of cattle, canners and cutters or stocker calves or whatever, were selling for by the hundredweight. And in a field or in a lot at a farmer's place, he'd have to estimate the weight of each individual animal, apply to it what he knew was that day's hundredweight price in Oklahoma City or in Fort Worth. A lot of times he'd do this in his head. Sometimes he'd take little notes. But then he'd come up with a group price for the whole bunch. And then there'd be a great deal of bargaining back and forth. He called it chiseling. And so then he'd load up generally in his own truck when he had a truckload of cattle and leave out in the early evening. So he'd get to Oklahoma City at the stockyards a little before dawn, and he'd consign his cattle to an agent there he always used, whose name was Ralph O'Wright. What he did was he'd write a check for the cattle. If he didn't have enough money in the bank to cover that, the bank just treated it as a loan, short-term loan. And then he brought his check back from the sale and deposited that at the bank. And if he'd been right in his bargaining or in his bid at an auction, why, there was a little left over for profit. He made us a good living, and he did that for most of my life.